Amen. So those are the announcements. Glory to the name of God. You know, I spent a lot of time in Genesis chapter 6, the generations of Esau, who is Edom, you know, and in that I said, well, why not draw a map? And so, and write down these first children. There's actually, depending on how you count it, anywhere from 10 to 14 dukes or chiefs, leaders of people that come out of Esau, Edom. And so these people are fascinating when you go and you really start looking at them. One that we'll look at, and we'll see this guy a lot, this is the beginning of the Amalekites. Thank you. So this is where the beginning of the Amalekites start, is from the first son of Esau, from Adua, the daughter of Elam, a Hittite woman. And so his concubine, Tina, had Amalek, and you'll find out that this ties in with Job. This, it's weird, when you look at Job and Job chapter 4 and Job chapter 2, where his friends come and talk to him, the same person from this area, not the same person, the same name, because you can't really say it's the same person, but it is the same name, and it is from the same area, from the southern side of the Edomites nation, all right? So if you look at it, he very well could have been one of the friends of Job, because, you know, Job was written, supposedly the first book that was ever in the Bible, or part of Scripture, you know, where they called on God and wrote it down. It would be very interesting if that is how this played out through history. There are some things when we go through this chapter, this 43 verses, of a lot of names. There are a lot of names here. And it's interesting, the time period, where he says the generations of Esau, and he starts with the first one, and he comes down to the last duke of duke or chief person that comes out from his family line. There is possibly 800 to 900 years in this one chapter that is all laid out. This king and that king, and then that one died, and this kingdom died, and that kingdom died. And you, it took a lot of digging to try to find where these people are, where they were. Go ahead.
Teman.
Yes.
T-E-M-A-N.
Yes. Which, Teman is right here.
Okay.
All right. This is also
Job 4 says, many life as the Temanite.
Temanite. Yep. And so this
is said.
There you go. So this is in the same bloodline right here. These are one of the dukes. So Elphaz, his son is Teman. All right. So Teman. So he's a Temanite. And so one of the Temanites came out and he talked to Job as one of his friends.
Was he the young one?
No, he was. Oh,
no.
The young one. I don't know what the young one's name was.
I don't remember.
Towards the end.
Yeah.
After the old man had
talked. After the old man had talked. Right. And so you got two of these people that are, their names are directly tied to Esau. Which I think, when I was going through that today, the epiphany jumped up. I said, wow. I read that and I said, I've heard these names before. Where did I hear them from? Of course, I Googled it, right? Because I, you know, the Bible's a big book to try to find one name in. And so I found out that these were some of the folks that talked with Job. The names are from the Temanite people, which Teman is one of the descendants of Elphaz. And so it's interesting. It's an interesting time.
And the young guy's name was Elihu.
Elihu. All right. Amen. So we'll keep an eye open for the name Elihu as we go through this, because Genesis is the beginning of everything. It's the genesis of everything. And this Amalek, which turns into the Amalekites, later in Exodus we start reading about it, and in the book of Numbers we start reading about the Amalekites and how they refused Moses and the Israelites after the 430 years of bondage to cross their land. And they actually came up and attacked them. That's where Moses is, when he prays, he lifts his hand to the Lord, and they're able to have victory. over the Amalekites, but when he lets his arms down, the Amalekites start getting victory, and so Joshua and
Hur,
thank you, Joshua and Hur hold up his arms so he can pray, and as long as his arms are held up, they're able to have victory over these people. We'll find out all through, all the way up until 2 Samuel, the Amalekites, thank you. Amalekites were a thorn in the side of Israel forever, all the way through their history, or all the way up until Saul, and Saul was supposed to kill the king, and you know, we'll get to that when we get it in 2 Samuel. Yeah, go ahead.
He shows up in, not Ruth, what's
his name? Oh, Esther.
Esther.
Yes.
He shows up in Esther.
Yes.
Naaman. Was an Amalekite.
Right. Naaman was a Amalekite.
That's why Mordecai wouldn't respect him.
Yes.
He knew it.
Yeah. He knew it.
I knew who he was.
Yeah. And so all these things, if you look into it, they all tie together.
Yeah.
Right? And so all of these genealogies and of this long list of names that I'm going to ask my lovely friend over there that does so good with the... Because I tried hard to get through the names. I even listened to another guy read them out to me today. And, yeah, it ain't happening. You know, it ain't happening. But what I did glean from it, as Alabama.
That's not scripture.
Alabama. Like President Obama. So this is Alabama. Alabama. And so, anyhow, she is the daughter of this girl. Okay, so Esau, Abimelech, is the same name here, the daughter of that one, which is the daughter of Ziblon, the Hivite, not the Hittite. It's weird. It's weird. And so I, you know, I'm not trying to make extra soap opera stuff in it, but if you just read it the way that we're going to read it here in just a minute, you're going to see that it sounds like this one is kin to that one through this person. Okay, so again, as the world turns, you know, it's another soap opera and stuff like that. And it doesn't say that they had, has these sons, but none of these children talk of their offspring. Now this child right here, Elphaz, and this one, Reuel, they talk about the individual children and then the descendants or the dukes, the chiefs that come out of them. This one, Aholabama. And so.
It helps you remember.
It is, yeah, I got to do, you know, so when I go like this, I'm not talking about Hawaii. And so, it talks about these children, but it doesn't talk about the offspring of these children. Right? And so it's, I don't know why it doesn't do that, but it doesn't. And down here I drew a quick, just outscale the Mediterranean Sea. The land of Hushir, the Ammonites, the Moabites, Canaanites, Edom, and Amalek. Yeah. And then I found out where Uz is. Uz is down here at the corner of the Red Sea, or the Strait. What's that? Suez Canal. Suez Strait down here at the Red Sea. And so Uz was down in this area here, which was at the edge of the Amalekite... Amalekite area before they go into Egypt. And so it's an interesting thing when you get into it, but it's hard to get into because these names are, you got to get past the names, but you can't get past the names. And so, my sister,
what chapter?
36. Christy. I did know your name. Abimelech. And so, chapter 36. Now, these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. All right? That's good to know, right, to start with. So, everyone who came out of Esau was part of the Edomite lineage.
All right, so he was the father of the Edomites. All right, they're not kin to the Termites. Okay, but they're close. Anyhow, and Edomite took wives from the daughters of Canaan. You can take on from here, honey.
Ada, the daughter of Elam, the Hittite, and Aholibama, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, the Hivite, and Bashima, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajov, and Abba, bare to Esau, Eliphaz, and Bashima, bare Ruel, and Aholibama, bare Jewish, and Ja'alam, and Korah. These are the sons of Esau, which was born unto him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives, and his sons, and his daughters, and all the persons of his house, and his cattle, and all his beasts, and all his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. For their riches were more great than they might were more than they might dwell together. In the land wherein they were strangers, could not bear them because of their cattle.
Okay, hold on right there. This is a peaceful separation of brothers. Mm-hmm. All right, remember when Jacob came across from Laban's house and they met, and they both said, we're very wealthy. And Esau said, I know, well, in the land of Canaan, they could not support both of them. Jacob had said that he was going to stay in the land of Canaan before he went over the Jordan to to Jabbok, where Dinah got taken advantage of and all that mess. And then they came back into the land of Canaan. By that time, Esau had already went down to the bottom, instead of over here, he went to the bottom of the Dead Sea. This is Galilee. This is the Jordan River. And so, he went down here and started building his kingdom. Down here, started having children. And these children were dukes. These were mighty people. And we'll see in the names that they start coming, you're going to see a lot of Baal. They started worshiping not the true God, but Baal. A lot of similarities in the names of the gods that Israel was told not to have part of. Which stands to reason, because Esau married the Canaanite people which had these gods as their gods. So it's not a far-fetched thing that they're going down that route of idolatry. All right? So you good?
Yep.
All right. Praise God. More hard names.
Okay. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And there are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in Mount Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons. Eliphaz, the son of Adah, the wife of Esau. Ruel, the son of Bashima, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, and Gatam, and Kenaz. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. These were the sons of Ada, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Ruel. Nahath and Zerah, Shammah and Mizah. These were the sons of Bashemath, Esau's wife. And these were the sons of Aholibama, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, Esau's wife. And she bare to Esau, Jeush and Ja'alam and Korah. These were dukes of the sons of Esau. The sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn son of Esau, Duke Timan, Duke Omar, Duke Zepho, Duke Kenaz, Duke Korah, Duke Gadam, and Duke Amalek. These are the dukes that came of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. These were the sons of Adah. And these are the sons of Ruel, Esau's son, Duke Nahath, Duke Zerah, Duke Shema, Duke Mizah. These are the dukes that came of Ruel in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Bashemath, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Aholibama, Esau's wife. Duke Jeush, Duke Ja'alam, Duke Korah. These were the dukes that came of Aholibama, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Esau, who is Edom, and these are their dukes. These are the sons of Seir, the Horite, who inhabited the land, Lotan, and Shobal, and Zibeon, and Anath. Okay. And Dishon, and Ezer, and Dishon. Dishon and Dishon.
Mm-hmm.
These are the dukes of the Horite, the children of Seir in the land of Edom.
Okay. So when Esau went into that land, these were the people that were already there. Right? So these were the people that were there. Dishon, Ezer, Dishan. These were the dukes of the Horites. The Horites were living in the, they were the sons of Seir. That's where Esau went to the Mount of Seir. All right, and then those were the people that were there. So now we're talking about the nations that the Edomites were going to overtake, or were. So these are, again, these are hundreds of years that he's talking about these people coming and going. This didn't happen in just this one chapter. It took some time. I'm sorry that I interrupted. Don't do it again. I will, because.
And the children of Lotan were Hori and Hemam, and Lotan's sister was Timnah. And the children of Shobal were these, Alvin and Manahath and Ebal, Shephal and Onam. And these are the children of Zibeon, both Ajah and Anah. This was that Anah that found the mules in the wilderness, as he said, the asses of Zibeon, his father. And the children of Anah were these, Dishon and Aholibama, the daughter of Anah. And these are the children of Dishon, Hemdan and Eshban and Ithran and Cheran. The children of Ether are these, Bilhan and Zaravan and Ikhan. The children of Dishon are these, Uz and Aaron. These are the dukes that came of the Horites, Duke Lotan, Duke Shobal, Duke Zibeon, Duke Anah, Duke Dishon, Duke Ezer, Duke Dishan. These are the dukes that came of Horites among their dukes in the land of Seir. And these are their kings that reigned in the land of Edom, before they reigned any king over the children of Israel. And Bela, the son of Boer, reigned in Edom, and the name of his city was Dinhaba. And Bela died, and Jobab, the son of Zerah of Bozrah, reigned in his stead. And Jobab died, and Husham of the land of Temani reigned in his stead. And Hashem died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who smote Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his stead, and the name of his city was Avi. And Hadad died, and Samlah of Masreka reigned in his stead. And Samlah died, and Saul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his stead. And Saul died, and Baal-Hanan, the son of Ephor, reigned in his stead. And Baal-Hanan, the son of Ephor, died, and Hadar reigned in his stead. And the name of his city was Pau, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezahab. And these are the names of the dukes that came of Esau, according to their families, after their places, by their names. Duke Timnah, Duke Alva, Duke Japheth, Duke Aholibama, Duke Elah, Duke Pinon, Duke Kenaz, Duke Timan, Duke Mitzar, Duke Magdiel, Duke Aram. These be the dukes of Edom, according to their habitations in the land of their possession. He is Esau, the father of the Edomites.
Did you notice which duke wasn't in there?
Duke,
Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl,
well,
Duke.
Duke.
And so, but and, thank you so much.
Bo and Luke.
Bo and Luke. Yeah, Bo and Luke Duke. They weren't part of that. You know, and so there's, well, actually, there's somebody real close to Hazard there.
Yes, sir.
And so, thank you so much for picking up that. It was a blessing to hear it enunciated way better than I ever could have done it. So thank you for that. And in that, so you saw that there was a Baal started in like verse 37, 38, the son of this guy, the son of that guy. And then, so that's when Baal or Baalism is, this is the first Baal that's mentioned in the Word of God. And that, so always the first mention means stuff. And so this is the start of the decline of the Edomites. The nations of the Edomites that were coming out. So it's a long one. And now we get into something that's much more of our type. All of this here, notice how he, in one chapter, he took care of all of the Esau's people and all of their history forever. It doesn't say anything else about what? Oh. All right. Now he's going to come back and he's going to start talking about Israel. And we're going to start talking about Joseph and how Joseph and Israel or Jacob and their relationship and all that kind of stuff. And so the rest of Genesis now is about Israel, right? All of it, right? It's Esau just took up this one chapter with a lot of hard to pronounce names. Bless you for doing that. And so in chapter 37, Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, so that's something to remember. He's 17 at the time that he receives this honor, this coat of different colors or many colors. 17, he was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bila and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So, Joseph, the favorite of Israel, Jacob, is out working with his, and he saw stuff that they were doing that wasn't right. They were evil. And he goes and he tattletales on his brothers in our vernacular. You know, he goes and he, maybe tattletale's not right. When you see something wrong, you ought to say something that's wrong. If you're hurting the name of your father, it ought to be brought out, you know, that you're going to get a bad name if your children keep doing this stuff. And so Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. All right, parents, there's something to learn here. Do not love one of your children more than you love the rest of your children. Like I told my boys, I dislike you equally. You know, it's a har har. That went over like a lead balloon. So anyhow, it's I see it happening a lot where there are favorites in the family, and it happens. It's just natural. There's some of our offspring we just get along with better than others. They just have different spirits about them, right? And it's not the right thing to do, but it is a real thing that happens, right? We always say that we love our children equally. In one sense, very true. But there are some aspects of our offspring from one child to another that we might appreciate more than a different child of the same family. And so the same thing's happening here. Jacob knew that he could trust Joseph. He knew that he was going to come and he's going to be honest with him, tell him the things that were happening. So he showed him favor because he was of like mind, had the same work ethic, didn't want to do things outside of the order, that ways that should have been done. And so he showed him favor. But when you show favor to one child and not the other child, then all the other children, which are 11, well, probably 10 more because Benjamin was still small. And so those brothers had a serious bone or a dislike toward the one that was favored, which is Joseph. And that'll happen in every family. You know, and so so it's something that we need to look out for, but we're all kind of past that age now. Deal with your grandchildren. And when his brother saw their father loved him more. Yep.
Just real quick.
Yes.
God's not.
Amen. Yes.
Because Jesus died
for everyone. Yeah.
But God especially takes care of his own.
Amen.
I'm not saying it's right that favoritism, but he especially takes care of his own. And he says in his word for us that you love everybody, but you especially look out
for those in the family.
That's right.
Yep. Amen. Well, even in this, remember Jacob I have loved? Esau I have hated.
There you go.
And God said that.
God said that.
Right? And so he knew the heart of Esau before Esau was ever born. When Rebekah, right? That gave birth to the two boys. And was it Rebekah? Oh, come on. I can't think of... Rachel, thank you. It was Rachel. Rachel gave birth to these two twins, right? And when she was having problems with her labor, with her pregnancy, she went before the Lord and God said, there's two nations are fighting on the inside of you. That's why it's not kosher. You got two nations fighting in you. And he said, later on, he said, Esau, because he knew the lineage of Esau, he knew Amalek was coming out of there, he knew the Kenites were coming out of there, he knew that the daughter of Ishmael was going to be brought into the family, he knew that Baalism was going to be kept alive through the bloodline of Esau to infect the Israelite people hundreds of years down the road. He said, Esau I've hated, not because he was a bad person, but because of what he was going to bring unto the scene. So, because you got to see how God sees the long game, right? He sees the long game. And he knew that Jacob really wasn't any more grander than Esau was. I mean, he was still a conniver and everything else. But through the bloodline of Jacob, the promised seed would come, not through the bloodline of the Edomites or Esau.
Right.
That promised seed wasn't going to come. The righteousness, the Levitical line wasn't going to come out of him.
Jacob stayed close to God.
Yeah. Jacob stayed in the land of that his father was told to stay in. Right? The land of Canaan. And stayed there all the way up until the famine. And actually, this one child that the other brothers hate, he's going to end up, we know the rest of the story, right? He's going to end up being the one child that saves all of the Hebrew people, which, again, answers the prophecy. I'm getting way ahead of myself in the book of Genesis. Will answer the prophecy that Abraham had from God that his people would be in bondage for 430 years in Egypt until the iniquity of the Amorites was fulfilled. And so all of that's going to be happening. God saw all of this in the birth of these persons, which is the promise of Abraham through your seed. The whole earth is going to be blessed. And so going through the scarlet thread, we're into Joseph's life now. And so in verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about, and made obeisance, bowed down, I guess is the best word for my obeisance, to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. All right. This was a prophecy that God was showing to encourage Joseph long before the time that he was going to go. Because once he gets into bondage, we're there for several years that he goes through really an extremely hard time in his life for just doing the right thing for his character. And he has another dream. And verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren, and behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were made obeisance to me. And he said it to his father and to his brother, and to his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves unto thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the sayings. All right. I know that Joseph did the right thing, but sometimes it's just best to keep your dreams to yourself. You know, because this is going to cause problems later on in his life. You know, they already consider him a snitch. Daddy's favorite little child. And he, if we do anything wrong, he's going to go tattletale on us. And he's going to run tell it to daddy, no matter what. And now he thinks he's better than us. He thinks that he's going to be the big sheave one day, and we're going to bow down to him. And now he's telling that mom and dad are going to bow down to him. Who's this rascal? He's 17 years old. We're grown men. We're handling the business of the family. And you're just a whippersnapper. And you're telling me this, right? The pride, the arrogance that wells up in my heart when I read this story.
Well, and the brothers saw how their mothers were treated compared to how Joseph's mother was treated.
Amen.
They must have
seen it. And, well, you know, in any family, the children can pick up on the friction that's in the house. Amen?
Oh, yeah, I have a little one telling me every Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the sayings. So his dad listened to him, right? Yeah, it's because dad has a special heart for this particular child. And he listened to the sayings. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, do not thy brothers feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee to them. And he said to him, here I am. And he said, go to him. And he said, go to him. Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, I should have drawn that on the map. Y'all know where Shechem and all that is, right? So Hebron would have been up here, like as the Mediterranean goes out. The Tigris and the Euphrates would have came up in this way right here. Hebron is up over here. Shechem is down in Dothan, is right around here. And Shechem is in this area in the land of Gersher. So Shechem is right around in that area. In the maps that I remember, you know. And so anyhow, that's around about where he was on the land when all these things were happening. Should have drawn that out on the thing for you. I will next week, Lord willing. And he said, go, I pray thee. And a certain man found, verse 15. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in a field. And the man asked him, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I have heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brother and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him far off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And so Dothan is in southern Alabama. All right, you'll find it. There's from where you are, then you go over, there's Slocum, then there's Esto, then there's Ino. Then there's Enterprise, Alabama. On the other side of Enterprise, Alabama is Dothan. So, yeah, let us go to Dothan. far reach there. And so, he went. Actually, Dothan's got a lot of stuff in it. But where you're going's got a lot of stuff, too. And let us go to Dothan. He went, and they saw him afar off, and they conspired to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him in some pit, And we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, and it is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So Reuben, and Reuben is the son of, I ought to have these memorized, but I do not, but I have them written down. Leah, yep. He's the son of Leah. And so, he said, let's save this guy. Let's keep him from the danger. Don't kill him. And so, and his idea was, well, I'll just put him in this pit and then, you know, we will go ahead and I'll bring him back to dad a little bit later on. And it'll satisfy the bloodlust of my brothers to kill him, and it'll teach him a good lesson about tattling on us. But, as it would have, and it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brothers that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, and his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down and ate bread, and they lifted their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and palm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brothers, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. He is the brother in his brother's consent. Content. Yeah, sorry. Judah, the line of Jesus, all right, he said, well, let's make a little money off this.
we can't kill him.
We can't kill him. Right, we'll just sell him. Yeah, Dad will never know.
Man.
Right? It really is. That is a rough family. You think you come from? Yeah, exactly. You know, my sisters never threw me in a pit and sold me to a bunch of traveling gypsies, Ishmaelites, right? Oh my goodness! But you, even right now, you see God's hand in this. Now put yourself in Joseph's place. I'm only doing what my dad told me to. I'm being rejected by my brothers. They tried to kill me. They said they were going to kill me. Well, no, they sold me for a piece of money. And now I'm going to be a slave. Right? And he doesn't know about the selling part yet. He's still in a pit. Right? Can you imagine what's going through you? Because I imagine the first couple of hours, you're going to scream, get me out of this pit, I'm telling Dad. And they said, yeah, no you ain't. You know, I don't care, you're not telling Dad nothing. You're in a pit, what are you going to do? I got your coat, boy. You're not escaping this. And so, come let's know. And then there passed by the Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for 30. Yeah. So Jesus is a little bit more than what Joseph was. But with the cost of inflation, you know. And they brought Joseph unto Egypt. And Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. So Reuben must have left the group.
Yeah.
You know, because he would have stood up for Joseph because he wanted to save Joseph's life and bring him back to his dad.
And he was the oldest son, so he must have had some influence on his brothers.
But yes.
When he left, they...
Yeah, no one's here to stop us now. And so they did what they were going to do. And he returned unto his brother and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of goats and dipped the coat in blood and sent the coat of many colors. And they brought it to their father and said, this have we found, we now know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. What a conniving, this is a deep-seated hatred.
Yeah.
Now, Reuben and the next one down, Levi, Simeon, they're the ones who slaughtered the...
Well, Simeon and Levi sought slaughter.
Yeah, that was...
Right.
That was not Reuben.
That wasn't Reuben, yeah.
It wasn't the real bloody one, right? It was
right.
Simon
and the other guy.
Levi.
Whew, man. And now you bring this... What a ball... Yeah.
The grief and the sorrow. Yeah.
And knowing that is not true. What? These are wicked people. They're just like me. Yeah, their sin is just like my sin, right? All they cared about is getting away with their stuff, their little deceit. And they didn't care who it hurt. They didn't care that it was going to tear his dad's heart right out. The favorite son's gone. Now, who's going to vie for favorite now that Joey's gone? And so, and they knew it, and it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, put sackcloth on his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, and he refused to be comforted, and said, "For I will go down to my grave and to my son's mourning." Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him, Joseph, into Egypt unto Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh and the captain of the guard. And it came to pass. Now, we got a little bit of time. You don't mind hanging out just for a little bit more? Or should we can hang it up right there, because this is a good place to stop, because now you're getting into Potiphar's house. You saw the plight of Joseph. You saw the rise of Esau and all of his people and all that kind of stuff, the way that it kind of ties into a lot of different places in the Bible. Amalek is going to grow. Right now, he's just a little bitty boy right down here in Edom somewhere, but he's going to grow into a great nation, the Amalekites. Amalekites, thank you.
The other thing is, these things had to have happened.
Yes.
For Joseph to be in prison, for God to use Joseph, for him to... reach out, and it's just amazing to me, even in that
yeah,
wickedness,
God
mm-hmm. used
everything.
And orchestrated. I mean, he had to know that Joseph had to be in that prison.
Mm-hmm.
How'd he get there?
Yeah. How'd he get there? He knew that he was going to have to be
tried
by Potiphar's wife. He was tried. Yeah.
He was tried.
Yeah. And he knew that he was going to be put into Pharaoh's prison. He knew that he was going to meet the baker and the butcher, right? And he knew that those things were going to, he knew that he was going to have prophecies come to him. He knew these things.
He's a picture of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's a picture of Jesus Christ. And you see it over
yeah,
and over.
Yeah.
Now, that's us seeing the backside of it.
Right.
When I read these accounts, I try to put myself in the middle of it. How would have I felt? What would have I, God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Absolutely.
Dad, you never even come to look for me. Because he didn't know that they took his coat and dipped it in blood. He didn't know those things. It was sold. That was so far away from him. He was just struggling to find bread as a slave from day to day. But God. God knew he was going to bring him all the way through these things. He knew that the heartbreak, how everything that Joseph relied on was going to be taken out of him so that he could rely on nothing else but God and God's powers. Right?
Right.
He had to live by faith.
If you look at the Old Testament, look at David.
Yeah.
He's anointed king. And what happens as soon as he's anointed king?
Saul tries to kill him. Yeah.
Saul wants to kill him.
Yeah.
Right?
For years.
Moses is called.
Yeah.
Goes to the backside of the desert for 40 years.
Yeah.
Why?
Why? To train.
It's affliction.
Yeah. Affliction.
That's God's appointment.
Yeah. Paul, when he was Saul, when he was turned to Paul, right?
It happens like so regularly. Like, this is not yes. an accident.
No.
You know?
No.
God's it is a.
It's part of the forming. It's part
it's
of
the form. It's the fingerprints of God on the saint of God.
Yep.
So this wealth and prosperity preaching that you'll never go through hard times because mm-hmm. Jesus loves you is not biblically sound
that's
doctrine.
Right. That's right.
You can't be hidden.
You can't, yeah. If you're going to share in his glory, you have to share in his suffering. Right? And the suffering that Joseph is going through, the suffering that Moses that went through, suffering that Abraham went through, the suffering that Jesus went through, being despised and rejected, by his own family, his own brothers, his own disciples turning away from him. Even the father had to turn his back on him when he became sin.
How old was he with Joseph when he was brought out of prison? Was he
33? Yes. Yeah. 30? Well, yes. 30. Yeah. So from 17 to 33 is the whole trip into Egypt and becoming.
I mean, was he 30? Was he 30 when he?
I don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure.
Old, we stood in front of
yes.
Pharaoh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know at one point
or when the people,
tell you how old he was.
Yeah. Well, we know that he was 17 when he went into the hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when he was thrown into the pit and sold to the Midians and the Ishmaelites.
Boy, that's life lessons in this story.
Yeah.
Right here, boy.
How old would Benjamin have been by the time he was later brought down to Joseph?
Joseph? Benjamin was like 3, maybe 4 years younger than Joseph, I think. Off the top of my head. You know, so yeah, he would have been in his early teens if Joseph was 17, Benjamin. They would have been playmates for sure, because in Joseph's later life, the one that he was concerned about the most was his dad and his baby brother. You know? Is Benjamin still okay? The youngest, is he still okay? And so, interesting thoughts. Interesting thoughts.
It put it out. Romans 8:28.
Yeah. Amen. Is Romans, and these things, they meant for bad, but God meant them for good. All of these things. So every trial that we go through, every twist that we live out in this life, trust that God means it for good. And another thing I got out of the lineage of Esau is that he knows every single person, good, bad, or indifferent. He knows their name. Because Moses had to write these things down. And the only way that he could have got all those names right in order, God had to tell him. Right? Because that is supernatural. I can't even say those names. And he got them all. And Duke, all those guys got all them. Thank you so much. And so, any other thoughts? Interesting spot in the Word of God. And so, let's close in prayer. We'll call it a night. Yeah, that, or I was going to call Deb.
All right, okay. So, dear Heavenly Father, we know that Joseph was called of you, Lord. He was your servant.
Yes.
And it was your anointing on his life. And we see, Lord, the beginning of his special call. We see the trial he's going to go into. And, Lord, we see the word says somewhere, Lord, that your word came and tried him. Well, he was tried until your word came. And so for years and years, Lord, he was before I was afflicted, I went astray. And now I've kept that word. Until Joseph had gone through the furnace of affliction, and he was refined. And that refinement took many years. But when he came out of it, he was gold.
Mm-hmm.
And he was anointed to your calling. And I think, Lord, that's the lesson, the big way of Joseph, is that we want to be used of you, Lord. There's going to be some trials that are going to come, because it's a higher calling than the world gives us, Lord. It's your calling. And it's another kingdom. It is not this kingdom. and it's another warfare, and it's a whole other travel and journey that we go on. It's not the journey of what the world would want, what they would think would be right. But we know, Lord, where we sow in tears, Lord, we reap in joy, bringing our sheaves with us. And Lord, it's a struggle. But it's what's worth it. It's what's true. And as the saying goes, Lord, in the gyms, no pain, no gain.
No gain. Amen.
And this is pain. And Joseph is going to go into some serious pain. But when he comes out of it, he's going to gain the lives of his brethren. He's going to be their savior. And he will usher in the children of Israel. Ultimately, Lord, they'll realize that promised land, Lord. Because of the work and the perseverance and the faithfulness and the just the righteousness of Joseph in the middle of that furnace. And he was purified. He rose gloriously. Mm. And Lord, he is emblazoned throughout your word as this, Lord. Because he was faithful and he persevered and he pressed on. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Mm. Amen. 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 So, here, and the business, about here.